Welcome back again to BadQuaker.com. This is Ben Stone, and this is podcast number 30, and it's for September 30th, 2011. I was going over my notes and trying to figure out what I was going to do today's podcast on, and I have been trying to work on a thing on the Gilded Age and the birth of the Industrial Revolution, going through the 1800s and up into the vast explosion of wealth that took place in the United States and across Europe in the late 1800s. Mostly I wanted to focus on the explosion of wealth in the U.S. In the late 1800s, and I have been gathering a lot of material on that, and my wife was helping me do some research on the internet, and we were just coming up with some amazing stuff. And in the middle of all this, my daughter purchased a 100-year-old house in Dayton, Ohio, and looking through this old masterpiece, this work of art that people casually live in nowadays, it's placed in a whole series of these works of art that we call houses, that we call old houses, run-down houses. And you look at the amazing woodwork in there, handcrafted woodwork, that this stuff, they didn't go down to the local Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever and just order it machine-punched out of a stack of other pieces exactly like it. Fine German craftsmanship from the great old folks that made this stuff and built it. And I have really, for weeks now, really wanted to make an article on this, but there's so much information, and it's all so contrary to the way most people think about the Gilded Age in the late 1800s and early 1900s, that, you know, just trying to build a case for how much wealth there was at that time is contrary to the thinking that most people have. They just don't realize the vast amount of wealth that was in the pockets of what we might call middle America, the working class Americans at the time, the amount of wealth that was in their hands, and what happened to that wealth. That this story is just, as it unfolds to me and as I start to understand what happened to all that wealth, I haven't figured out how to express it in a way that it's believable. And in the process of this, I thought, you know who I should ask? One of the smartest people I know of is a guy named Robert Higgs. And so I popped on Facebook and I dropped him a note and I said, hey, you know, do you know of any books or any reference material that I could look back on about the Gilded Age, the late 1800s, early 1900s, and the way the production of wealth took place? And he's such a humble man, and he's such a helpful man, and he wished me the best, and he gave me several good leads. But you know what he didn't tell me? He didn't tell me that he wrote a book on that. That's the kind of guy he is. Now, this is all on a shelf. I haven't touched it since we've been back from the family emergency that we experienced in the middle of September. It's just kind of sat there. But I was kicking around today thinking, well, do I drag that out and try to make an article out of it? And I was popping around on the internet, and I stumbled over to Mises.org, as I do whenever I get the chance. And I saw a little thing written by Jeffrey Tucker on September 28th. So that would have been yesterday, Thursday, 28th. That would have been Wednesday the 28th. Anyway, the title of this is Higgs on the Gilded Age. And I thought, look at that. Jeffrey Tucker wrote an article on Robert Higgs talking about the Gilded Age. And so I'm gonna just run through this article for you real quick. It's a very short little thing. This is Higgs on the Gilded Age by Jeffrey Tucker. The Gilded Age lasted from 1865 to World War I, was an era of economic growth never before seen in the history of the world. The standard of living of the modern age was born during this time of phenomenal transition. Lives lengthened, wealth exploded, the middle class lived better than kings a century earlier. And yet this period of history is mostly ignored in the classroom. Those who do address it are keen to debunk the overall trends and instead focus on the plight of small sectors, generally seeking to debunk the idea that it was a period of growth. The finest response to this revisionist view was written by a young Robert Higgs. The book is The Transformation of the American Economy. Fresh out of graduate school and not yet exposed to the Austrian literature, he used the tools he had to shore up the reputation of the Gilded Age and explain that the growth was real and it happened due to free markets and sound money. The result is a book that still has no match as a rigorous account of the economic history of the time. Among other insights, he explains the wonderful effects of population movement from the country to the city and how this led to new forms of communication and sharing of ideas among the commercial class. He explains how falling prices were not a disaster but rather a benefit to the population. He defends the hands-off approach of the presidency and the absence of bureaucratic management. He shows that this period was the greatest triumph for mankind since the Industrial Revolution itself. In this new edition, Higgs writes a new introduction, repudiates some of his methodological approach, which he now finds to be excessively empirical and not drawing on the casual realist tradition. That said, the book holds up as an economic history. It is a fantastic thing to have this book available again to counter the propaganda that the Gilded Age was nothing but a time of robber barons and rising class conflict. On the contrary, he argues, the masses have never before or ever benefited so much from an economic transformation. So those are Jeffrey Tucker's words. Again, the book is The Transformation of the American Economy. So here Robert Higgs knew this book was going to come out, but he's the kind of a guy who didn't self-advertise. He didn't brag about his old work. He instead gave me the path of where he had gotten his stuff from. I was really impressed by that. He's quite the guy. And this naturally takes me to something that Robert Higgs, I don't know him, actually. I chat with him on Facebook, so I shouldn't be comfortable calling him Bob. Although, he's such a friendly guy, I don't know how you don't call him Bob. Anyway, perhaps someday I'll meet him, and then I'll be more comfortable calling him Bob Higgs. Anyway, here's, I'll put a link to this on Bad Quaker. This is an article that we posted on Bad Quaker way back in April, and this was something that Robert Higgs wrote. And I'm just going to read it as it appears on Bad Quaker. This is from April 12, 2011, badquaker.com. Recently, Robert Higgs expressed some thoughts on his Facebook page. We at Bad Quaker recognize Robert Higgs as a primary leader in the liberty movement and felt his casual words should have as wide an audience as possible. Robert Higgs. I've made a lot of mistakes, but one mistake I've never made and never will make is to give money to a politician. Nor, if I had been a passenger on one of the trains robbed by Jesse James and his gang back in the 1870s, would I have seized the opportunity to make a voluntary donation to the robbers. I think it's important to recognize that silent withdrawal of allegiance from the state, although it may seem to be, and in a literal sense is, nothing, may yet prove to be the most decisive action in the end. When people act overtly against the state, if their action truly threatens the state comes down on them hard and violently. At the same time, it characterizes them as outlaws and troublemakers, terrorists nowadays, and encourages the bovine masses to rise up in support of crushing them. Often this whole cycle of challenge and response accomplishes nothing but the creation of martyrs. In contrast, silent withdrawal, stealthy sabotage, well-concealed disrespect, and opposition in 1,000 different forms can eat the heart out of the popular acquiescence the state requires to persist and function effectively. Something like this happened in the USSR. No bloodbath. yet the destruction of a truly horrible apparatus of tyranny. The tragedy there is that the people had no vision of a genuine free society to establish once the old regime had fallen. So instead of freedom, they ended up with merely a milder form of authoritarianism. Robert Higgs is an economic historian, Austrian economist, and a libertarian anarchist. He is a respected author in the field of economics and economic history. Please see his page at The Independent Institute. Link found on page. So that's the article we published about Robert Higgs in April 12, 2011. Now, I'm bringing that to light now for several reasons. Some might accuse me of bringing this topic simply because of an upcoming interview that we have in the works at Bad Quaker that I'm only slightly teasing you with right now. But that's really not the reason. I really enjoy reading Robert Higgs' stuff on Facebook, and I enjoy dropping by the Independent Institute on the internet, and I love it whenever there's a Mises activity of some kind, and Robert Higgs is there to give any kind of a speaking, any time he speaks. I always love to get a hold of that, download it, get it on my MP3 player and listen to it. But it really struck me because I had all this stuff in my mind about the Gilded Age, and then I bumped into this article by Jeffrey Tucker, and it all just fell into place along with this interview that I keep teasing about. All this stuff fell into place at the same time, and I just thought, you know, this is something that I have to talk about. Here's a general rule in life that I've found handy that I apply to myself. If I see seemingly random, unassociated events that all have a common thread, I try to stop, notice things like that, and see exactly what it is they're leading me to. I don't always know in the end what it is I found, but I don't think I've ever regretted the search. So you might find this sort of a short podcast, considering the hour-long length of the podcast that I've been producing. But I just really felt the need to say something, having bumped into all these things within a very short period of time, and all these things coming back into memory all at the same time. For more articles and podcasts on liberty, the zero aggression principle, and property rights, go to badquaker.com. And thank you for listening.